Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. And we have about 16 or 14, I've forgotten exactly how many seats left on our Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, June Spiritual Heritage Tour. We have that many seats left, so they'll be gone in a few days. So if you want to go with us in June, it's a four-day trip. Actually, we start Wednesday night, we end Saturday night. So then we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour. If you want to do that, the tours are back-to-back. So if you're flying in from around the country and you want to see Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown, and Washington, D.C., in Mount Vernon, all in 7 days, everything's planned for you, you're taken care of from start to finish, then we're the tour for you. Just go to the, and we're going September as well. So if you want to go in June or September, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours with an S.com for all the information. I'm Tim Wildman with Abe Tagliano. We've asked Abe to hang around, Abe Hamilton. Abe will be on this afternoon with his own program, the Hamilton Corner at 5:05 Central Time. So be sure to join him. Steve Jordahl is now with us. Steve is a newsman.
Newsman
Steve Jordahl with American Family Radio News, OneNewsNow.com. Good morning.
Good morning.
Steve.
Good morning.
The four of us were just discussing, and this was part of our talk before you came on with us.
Yep.
New York, California, two states in particular where the governors have said employees of our state cannot travel to these states.
Right.
Because we're boycotting them because they're backwards and they're not woke. They're not, and they've named several states. I know Mississippi, when we passed a religious freedom law, religious liberty law, about 3 years ago, 2 years ago, something like that. And this was meant to protect, among other things, Christian business owners from having to, being forced to do gay marriages.
Right.
Gay weddings, I should say, or be driven out of business. And the state of Mississippi, and other things, but the state of Mississippi said, no, that's not fair, that's not right, there is religious freedom, and we're going to recognize that.
Right.
Well, as soon as that happened, the governor of New York said, you know what, you hicks? This is my interpretation. He said, you know what, you bunch of religious right hicks down there in Mississippi, we're not letting any of our New York employees travel to your state because you're so stupid. And that's what
you took this personally, didn't you?
Well, I was secretly saying, really? You promise? No more New Yorkers down here? Please tell me that's true. I'm just kidding. We welcome New Yorkers. Mississippi's the hospitality state.
Yes,
there you go.
We welcome all. But California did the same thing, and New York may have done that with other states, too. They probably did it with Georgia for the pro-life bill over there. But California, they did the same thing. They said none of our state university sports teams can travel to Oklahoma, Texas, where I don't know, they listed the states because of laws that these states had regarding pro-life or sanctity of marriage or whatever the case may be. And So
they said you can fly over country,
yes,
but you cannot land.
You can tell them. Well, what they can control, they say, okay, California state employees, you can't go to Texas
on the state dime,
on our dime.
Right.
You can go, but they're not saying you can't travel to that state.
Right. Right.
By the way,
didn't some Midwestern state retaliate? I don't remember which one it was.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma said,
Oklahoma
fine.
Said, we'll do the same thing
right.
to you.
Yeah.
Back at you. And Texas. So anyway, all right, now, tell us what's happened in the state of New York, though. This is going to get very interesting. in the next 24 hours.
So New York passed a law which they called a green light law. And what this means is that illegal aliens and green just about light. Anybody else can get a driver's license. It's a form of ID that they can use to travel. Well, it did two things. The law also said that the DMV was not allowed to communicate with immigration officials if they came across an illegal alien who was guilty or convicted of some kind of a criminal offense. It's the same kind of sanctuary city nonsense that's going on. And now the New York State is saying that their DMV cannot communicate with immigration people if they come across someone that needs to be deported. In consequence, the Trump administration says, well, then we don't know who's coming in and going out of your state. Because illegal aliens, anybody has a driver's license they can use as an ID to board a plane or to get through whatever. Therefore, we are kicking you out of the preferred traveler program. I think it's called the global entry program, which means if you've ever seen the clear line at the airport.
I just used it coming from India.
Yeah, where you can go through and you get – I have a TSA did a background check on me. Now when I fly, I get to go through those lines. Now, you can't do that now if you're from New York because there's no way of knowing if you're
illegal. It's a big, big inconvenience now.
That's right.
For New Yorkers traveling internationally.
Yes.
It is. And nationally.
And domestically.
So now, they can't even participate in the TSA program?
No. Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah, it's the Global Entry and the TTP, the Trusted Traveler Program.
Oh, I didn't realize it was domestic. Wow.
And those folks pay. Don't you have to pay to get the
Yeah, paycheck? They grandfathered them in, but they can't renew.
Yeah. Ah, I see.
Okay,
they can,
for the next 12 months or 6 months or however long they... You're signed up annually. You can
because the ones who are already in, they've already been
grandfathered
vetted.
In. Right. So when that expires, though, they can't renew. That's going to be no matter. There's a lot of upset New Yorkers, but they don't need to be upset with the federal government. They need to be upset with their governor
and the state legislature.
And the state legislature for being too woke. They need to tell them you need to go back to sleep.
Right.
Okay. Because this is liberalism run amok. Just gone nuts. Giving driver's license to people who are here illegally. What's the point of even?
And not only that, but prohibiting the DMV from conveying criminal information.
I wish we could move
criminal
New York.
Records.
I wish we could move New York on the border, swap places with Texas. I know Texas would hate the weather, but. And just let them see the natural consequences of this lunacy, where you just say, "Everybody come, we don't care who you are, and you just come on."
We'll give you a driver's license,
and you just watch millions of people flood into New York, and you just see how fast that would take them to backtrack on this kind of craziness. So you got this going on, so the federal government says. Okay, you're going to do this. We're going to do that.
Right.
You can't participate in this. Now, Governor Cuomo wants to meet with President Trump.
Ah.
Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
According to Fox.
I bet he does.
According to Fox, this has got to be killing him. It's got to be killing him. Because Cuomo hates Trump. Trump is Hitler. Trump is Satan.
Yeah.
This is like, Ed, you know the Star Wars movies. If somebody has to go bow the knee before Lord Vader,
Darth Vader,
who would be the one who would most hate to do that?
I don't know.
Luke Skywalker. Okay, so
I'm
like
a big Star Wars fan. Okay. I prefer Star Trek, but
well, it's so
you have come before me, rebel scum.
There's only so
you asked for that.
That
wasn't me, but that was Steve Jordahl.
No. You did the voice.
I did the voice, but you did the breathing.
You
did the breathing treatment.
Who's gonna say they're Luke, James Earl?
You have failed me for the last time, Commander.
All right,
but not a big fan.
But not a big fan.
I did open up a can of worms.
Yeah, you did.
I did. I opened up a Star Wars.
You opened up a can of Wookiees right there.
You know, there were unintentional consequences for my behavior right there. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and President Trump will meet Thursday, that is tomorrow, to discuss a potential compromise with the administration after the Department of Homeland Security banned New Yorkers from enrolling in the trusted traveler programs like Global Entry that allow expedited reentry
into
the United
States. President Trump don't play.
No, I am kind of shocked that that Governor Cuomo, I'm sure he's going to D.C., and as I say, he's going to bow before the king, as it were, because and he's been the one shouting the loudest that Trump is an idiot and he's a racist and that he's a bigot and that he's Hitler and we don't need to normalize him or humanize him. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to beg for some breadcrumbs tomorrow at the White House. That's what, you tell me how else this looks. I tell you what's happened is.
Well, you've put it in the best possible light, I can tell you that.
I tell you what's happened is he's got a lot of angry New Yorkers, and nobody can lash out like an angry New Yorker. burning up the phones to Albany.
Yeah.
Saying, you're going to have to get this fixed.
Right.
We're not standing in line. We may have to stand in line. I know we won't have to stand in line in Jackson, Mississippi, but we may have to stand in line somewhere else to get on an airplane. That was a bad joke, but a joke nonetheless. Back to our earlier comments. But this, as I say, Cuomo has got to be going, I can't believe I've got to go beg Trump for something here.
So my
they started it.
My question is, Abe, if I were to go to the DMV and they were to discover that I had, I don't know, a conviction or I was wanted for armed robbery, do you think that they'd contact the authorities on me?
Yeah, Steve, you don't have illegal alien privilege.
I guess I don't.
Don't you realize?
All right, we got a guest I need to get to, but let me ask you this, in all seriousness. I know that's a stretch for this show sometimes. What in the world does New York do this for? I'm talking about, why do they want to issue driver's license to people who are here illegally? Why do they not want to cooperate with the federal government about wanting a criminal deported, a violent criminal? Why do they take these stands?
Because they have adopted the worldview position that entering our country illegally is not an offense. So that they are using their position as state legislature, legislators and the governor to make a statement that illegal aliens are not illegal in our state. So they want to flout.
But that's a federal issue.
Should be a federal issue. But as you stated before, if you have an opportunity to oppose the big bad wolf that's in the White House, then you take advantage of that opportunity to do that.
I don't know why New Yorkers won't. Violent criminals, illegal violent criminals running around their streets, and they're saying, we're good with that.
I can't answer that for
you. Yeah, we're good. We're fine with that. We're going to vote for that again.
The mantra that's offered is that illegal aliens are less violent than American citizens. So there's no...
We're not wanting to deport nonviolent. We're only wanting to... ICE is looking for people who are violent. They're wanting to put detainers on folks who are violent, illegal criminals.
For the record, they have the ability to deport anybody that's here illegally.
Yes.
But the state of New York said, no, we're good. We'll keep them on our streets. We don't want you to have them. Yeah, I don't understand it.
That is not wise.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. Tim, Abe, Ed, and Steve. So in order to participate on this program, you need to have one syllable name. And Shane is with us now, Shane Eidelman. Shane is sometimes guest on this program. Shane did a video and wrote an article, which we commend to you. It's called, How Can You Follow Jesus and Support Donald Trump? I don't know how you can get any more provocative with a title, but Shane, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, and I actually can get a little bit more provocative.
Okay.
The new one that came out today is Trump Lies and Other False Statements We Are Fed About Our President.
Hey.
Yeah, that's hitting the national media.
Hey, Shane.
Is there a comma between Trump and lies in that that title?
Yeah, it's there's a quotation mark. Trump Lies and Other False Statements That We Are Fed About Our President. So in other words, you know, the big one right now that I always receive is, how can you support someone who lies all the time? you know, and we're fed so many different falsies about.
You mean like to answer that? I always want to go. You mean like if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Is that what you're talking about?
Right.
What kind, what level of lies are we talking about here? Shane, introduce yourself to our listeners. What do you do professionally?
And I'm actually a pastor, if you can believe this, in Southern California. So there is hope for California. Yeah, there's a lot of good churches out this way.
Gotcha.
We're still the silent majority, but it is a difficult area to be in. So I pastor Westside Christian Fellowship in Southern California, and they can find it online or ShaneEidelman.com.
Okay, and you wrote this column. We've gotten tons of traffic from. I know you have at your own website, and we posted it on our Facebook page. And so today's issues, you can link there to Shane's article that he wrote. It's called How Can You Follow Jesus and Support Donald Trump? What made you write this, and how did you answer your own question?
Well, usually I pray about an op-ed I write for different Christian outlets, and I try not to react but respond. And it's just been on my heart for a while that there's so much misinformation out there. Where people are getting, especially the millennials, especially the next generation, they're getting their information from a society that just hates our president. So I just prayed about it and put some points down on here's how we can vote for Donald Trump. And, of course, you know, you guys have talked about this before. He's not a pastor. He's a president. The main role of government is to protect and administer justice. What he's doing is actually what a president should be doing. And I'm not really as concerned about his past character as I'm concerned about our national character. And standing up for the unborn. And, you know, like you said, borders, we love immigrants. I'm going actually to visit the border this week in California, but we have to abide by the rules. Number one. Number two is just flooding open borders is an invitation for disaster. That's not even wise. You know, borders are biblical. Wayne Grudem did a great article on that as well. So that's what spurred it, is really just trying to get the right information out there. And it did go viral in the last 10 days or so. So it's been encouraging.
Go to our website, or go to our Facebook page, Today's Issues, or you can go to Shane's site, and Shane Eidelman, our guest, and read his column and watch the video that he did. Go ahead.
Also, Steve. We posted the his new one, Trump Lies and Other False Statements We Are Fed. So both of those have been posted to the Today's Issues Facebook page.
Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Shane, Steve Jordahl from American Family News here. The question I have for you, I guess, is why, in your opinion, is President Trump facing all these headwinds? What is it about his message or about his voters that gets the other side so upset?
Well, there's a couple things. I don't want to take too much time, so I'll just sum them up in bullet points. But number one, we have to realize that the big divide is many people claiming to be Christians are not Christians. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. They don't have the discernment, and they're just, you know. So that's why there's a Christian divide, I think. But then also there are Christians. I know Christians in my area that just will not support him because of his past character, comments he's made, even his bravado, his tweets. But what you're talking about is why is our society so upset at what he's doing? And I believe, you know, obviously we're Christians. This obviously, first and foremost, is a spiritual battle. When you go to put in justices, I think what we're at close to 200 now that are constitutional, that are conservative, you go to protect the unborn, you go to bring prayer back into schools, there is a huge spiritual upheaval. And so they hate the president so much so that they will take just complete ridiculous take the polar opposite view and run with it. That's what you just talked about in New York. That's why this whole border issue, anything he does, they will do the opposite. So number one, they don't like his conservative values. They don't like how he acts and conducts himself. And, you know, there could be a lot more humility in that area. But and then to answer your question, I don't know if you asked this, but about Christians, the main divide is, you know, his past and his tweets and how he acts. But again, I see this differently. I don't think we need to apply Jesus' teaching to turn the other cheek to President Trump. So he's going to tell North Korea that he's going to turn the other cheek to North Korea. So see, we have, as a citizen of God's kingdom and as a citizen of here of America, I have dual responsibility. Number one, to God's kingdom first and foremost, but the president, clearly outlined in Scripture, is to be a terror to those who do evil. And you know, he's raised up, God has raised up Cyrus, Artaxerxes, he's used pagan kings, he'll use whatever he can to accomplish his purposes.
Yeah, what gets me is our fellow Christians out there who they want to point fingers at us and say, how do you support President Trump? How do you, like you just said, how do you vote for President Trump? They didn't say anything about that about Obama.
You know, no, of course not.
I don't remember any of these folks saying, oh, how did you vote for President Obama and be call yourself a Christian? It's only when it came to Trump. Anyway.
Well, you know, here's the big issue. I think it's hard for people to separate. You know, you look at the words he said in the past. You look at what, you know, just look at what he stands for, who he is. But he's not running. We're not voting for, okay, this is the pastor of America. He's going to represent our godly values according to Titus and 1 Timothy.
Yeah.
You know, we'd be wrong.
Yeah.
But if he's, according to Romans 13, he's doing exactly what he should be doing. And I want to be careful here, and I'm sure you'll know what I'm saying and your listeners, but there's not too many people, too many Christians, solid Christians, who could handle the weight of what he's doing. That takes a very, very unique individual.
Oh, no, I mean, he was built for this, and very few people are. And it's even getting to him. So you can see it on his face. You can hear it in his talk sometimes. I'm talking about not getting to him to the point of quitting or giving up. But, you know, as I've said before, every man, you know, has his breaking point. And President Trump hasn't broke yet. I'm not saying, but 9 out of 10 men would have broke.
It's under his skin.
For sure.
Broken
by now. And here's why I wrote these op-eds, and this is the biggie. Where are people getting their information from? For example, the number one thing, Trump lies. Okay, what does he lie about? Well, he said it's the best economy ever. It's not the best economy. Well, according to some, it is. According to others, it's not. That's not lying. That's just somebody using something against him.
No, they intentionally. That by they I mean the media, the liberal media, and those who are opposed to President Trump, the Democrats. They intentionally take what he says and they take the worst possible interpretation of it, and they know what they're doing. Ed's mentioned this many times before. You're talking about a guy who has not been a politician, Ed.
Right.
How would you describe? We all see the way President Trump talks. Sometimes he exaggerates.
He talks like a person who has not spent his whole life learning to speak diplomatically. That's what politicians have been trained to do. You speak diplomatically. You can say things but not say things because you're trying not to offend people, blah, 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 blah. And what he is he's a businessman, a New York street fighter. When you go to get a hot dog from one of the vendors on a street corner in New York, you're going to get, hey, what are you looking at? That's what you're going to get from Donald Trump. And to Shane's point, you shouldn't be expecting him to talk like a diplomatic politician, because that is precisely the reason why he got elected. He wasn't that.
So when he says, for example, this is the greatest economy ever, then the Democrats are going to say, oh, really, is it? Well, let's look at 1957 in February, where the GDP, what Trump is saying is the economy is roaring.
Right.
Okay? The economy is roaring. So everything he says is parsed by the Democrats and by the liberal media, and that's called a lie.
Right.
That's everything he says is called a lie because it isn't maybe exact.
But this comes from the camp that says they're not into factual truth, they're into moral truth.
Yes.
Duly noted. Wokeness Explained by Brother Abe over there. Thank you, Shane. God bless you, my friend. We appreciate
it. Great to be on. Okay, we'll talk soon.
The Shane Eidelman here on American Family Radio, joining us from SoCal. Thank
Very
you.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good.
In case anybody is wondering, that's a direct quote from AOC. She said that.
Oh,
she doesn't care about factual truth. She cares about moral truth.
Gotcha. AOC, a person, not a condition.